Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
It's all Trump, it's all Hillary. That was the verdict yesterday on Super Tuesday, as Trump and Hillary won seven states apiece. And I think they're still voting in Alaska, and they can see Russia from their house. Just a blowout. Not the blowout that could have been, the 10-1 blowout that was predicted in some cases, especially on the Republican side. But it's clear now who the front runner is. And look, you got to look at it a couple of ways. Fair is fair. Trump support is there. And there is a movement in America of people who are blowing up the Republican Party. And in the long run, maybe that's a good thing. But you could also look at it as we had a good run as a country. You know, we had a good run. I mean, 240 years, you know, started out a little rough. You had that little war of 1812 thing. Mm-hmm. But we had a good run. And whoever takes over now, there's a lot of pressure in being number one. So I believe, Dave, to use a sports metaphor here, we've got to go into rebuilding mode. Not for the Republican Party. Frankly, I don't care. I have to say this all the time. I despise both parties equally. I don't give a rat's butt about a single job in Washington or Springfield. I just want this country to be great now, not great again. Mm-hmm. Let's be great now. And yesterday's results going forward, you are setting up the contest that really all of America wanted. The pathological liar versus the bloviating blowhard. And that's where we're headed for this summer.
That is true.
And a long summer of campaigning.
That is exactly where we're heading.
Bernie Sanders, in the meantime, is still in the race. Are we going to hear from one of Sanders' people today or something? Is that the story?
Maybe. Working scheduling out.
So Bernie Sanders can't get enough votes to beat Hillary, but he can't get his people to schedule him on this show?
Oh, no, they can... Oh, Bernie Sanders on this show? Yeah, that we're working on that.
Okay. Was I distracting you, or were you doing something else?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I say you!
Susan Nicole, Executive Director of the Special Olympics Chicago, is on later. And Spike Odell is on later. Did you confirm with Spike, Spike O'Ban?
Yeah, 9:10.
Breakfast with the Blackhawk, Tomas Fleischmann, who is not your accountant for tax season. He is one of the newest Blackhawks, part of that trade for Montreal.
I asked John Weideman yesterday, what is the correct pronunciation of his first name?
It's not Tomas?
Well, it is. You can go with Tomas. You can go with Thomas. You can go with Tomas.
How about Tommy?
Tom?
Hey, yo, Tommy.
Tommy.
From Politico, reporter Kyle Chaney, who was very busy yesterday, very busy every day this time of year. In this season, and he'll be on to give us a summation from the Politico perspective of yesterday. Karen Conti in a little while, and Kim Potts. Kim Potts, the TV gal, who I've said is a co-number one guest on this show.
That's right.
With?
With Stacey.
Stacey.
Yeah, Stacey St. Clair.
Stacey St. Clair is on her way back to the Olympics this summer.
Yeah, she just got her ticket. She's going to be in Rio the first 2 weeks of August for the Olympics. And
she thought the water was bad in Russia.
I was going to say, she thought you had problems in Sochi?
No one was trying to swim in Sochi.
Right.
No. So we wish Stacey well, and really, we'll take care of her dog.
We should give her another prep kit. Remember, we sent her off. Well, when she came back, we gave her kind of some parting gifts.
There's no way to prepare for, you know how you prepare for Rio? You don't go.
Right. Or you get a couple of water filters, couple of bulletproof vests.
No, we just cancel our tickets. Here's your preparation for Rio. We cancel your tickets.
She's still going to go.
She's very brave.
We want her to be safe.
You want to go, right?
I do want to go, yeah.
Oh, you're crazy woman.
I know.
614, Joe from Romeoville, first caller of the show. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Fine, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. What's on your schedule today, Joe? What are you doing starting right now?
I'm driving a truck.
And where are you driving and what's in it?
Right now I'm empty. I'm heading up the Nile to pick up some yogurt.
Like a whole truck full of yogurt, or are you just getting breakfast?
A few pallets to take back to the warehouse a little bit later.
We were talking about yogurt on this show yesterday off the air. Dave, you're a big yogurt guy.
I am a big yogurt guy. I'm a big Greek yogurt guy.
Yeah, and that's the kind that has the hair on it?
That's the healthy kind.
Oh, it's healthy.
Yeah, it's supposed to trim belly fat.
And Joe, what is in your yogurt?
I don't know. I don't make the yogurt. I just drive the yogurt.
What brand are you driving around?
I can't really disclose that now, can I?
I don't know. I didn't know if you're working for a company or if you were a plain label guy.
No, I am an independent contractor for a grocery chain.
Does it rhyme with Oikos?
No.
Does it rhyme with Fage?
No.
Does it rhyme with Dannon?
No.
Does it rhyme with Yoplait?
It's Lifeway. I'm headed to Lifeway Foods. How's that?
I cannot believe you admitted that. You're in so much trouble. You know, I met the Lifeway people like 20 years ago when they started the company. They started with a product called Kefir.
Kefir, right.
And Kefir was like a yogurt beverage, which is really good.
Yeah, it's still around.
I didn't even know you could still buy it.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to me?
A yogurt drink? Like Ensure?
Yeah. Well, no.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm going to get. Kefir drink, exactly.
Well, this is the kind of detective work we do here on the Steve Cochran Show.
I was trying to be.
Well, we just talked about how great Kefir is. I don't know why you'd get in trouble for that. I think Kefir was a great idea.
Oh, damn it. They got the free advertising.
Please tell them they did. For you being on the show, you have everything Kevin's willing to give you. And Kevin, are you in a good mood today?
I'm in a great mood, Steve.
All right. So whatever Kevin's willing to give you, and he's drunk with giddiness, Joe, it's all for you. And I appreciate you listening. And be safe out there.
All right. Have a good day, guys. Thanks.
See you later. The Kefir people, where was I working?
Here.
No, it was before that.
Yeah, no, they used to advertise here.
Was it here?
I remember going to a meeting with them, and we all drank the Kefir. It was really good.
Drank the Kool-Aid. I feel like it was
in the 90s. Were they not around in the 90s? Because I didn't get here until 2000.
Well, you've worked other places, so it's maybe there's been more Kefir in your life than we know.
Maybe there's yogurt in other states.
You should try the Kefir.
I will try it.
It is good.
Yeah, the Kefir's good. Yeah. And I don't think it's called the Kefir.
Like the Jewel.
Like the Jewel or the Hulu. It's 6:17. We're back after this traffic update. Adam Chappelle in for Mary this week. What are you doing? Six 6:21, we will give you a complete Super Tuesday roundup a little bit later. But Trump, if you're just waking up, Trump and Hillary did what the polls indicated they would do and were big winners last night. Lifeway Kefir started in 1986. The Lifeway company started making Kefir, selling Kefir here in 1986. The word Kefir, Dave, as you probably know, goes back in the Russian language to the 1880s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, you knew that. Yeah.
Damn it, Chloe!
That clears up the great Kefir mystery. Though it doesn't clear up where I was working when I first heard about it.
No, it doesn't.
No. Man, the 90s went by really quickly. I was thrown out of a lot of good places. Let's switch it up a little bit and give you a couple of things that we may not have time for later in the show. Astronaut Scott Kelly is back on Earth. And there are some Northwestern professors who are pretty excited about it as well.
Go Cats.
Scott Kelly started his journey back to Earth 7 o'clock Tuesday night, and traffic was pretty good. So he was able to make it back fairly quickly and cleanly. You know, the good news is if you leave space at 7 o'clock, it's after rush hour.
Right. So you don't,
have those issues.
And no construction, no issues.
Really not. No, really not. I mean, you got to dodge a couple of asteroids and, there may be some space junk up there you got to go around. But it's no different than cones on the Kennedy.
Right. Nothing.
Meanwhile, in Northwestern, plastic astronaut dolls and rocket ships were scattered around the Panko Auditorium, where Tang and Cosmic Brownies were served to celebrate the homecoming of Kelly and his stuff. His stuff is something called microbiota, B-I-O-T-A, microbiota. Hosting the celebration were Northwestern professors Fred Turek and Martha Vitaterna, all wearing NASA gear. And Vitaterna and Turek are leading one of the 10 research teams selected by NASA to study Scott and his identical twin, Mark, and also study their gastrointestinal tract.
I don't think I'd want that job.
Microbiology, microbiota or biota, refers to the communities of microorganisms, mostly bacteria, that live in the human body. So she and Turek, the scientist, Vitarena, are looking for changes between Mark and Scott's microbiota determine the effects of long-term space travel on microorganisms. And I suppose the long-term goal here is to develop a probiotic for astronauts. So you'll be able to have Wendy doing commercials for it. What's the product she endorses?
What does she
do? Natron for outer space.
She can go. She can do the live reads from space.
Yeah. So if you wonder what the Northwestern tie is here, Dave, they are deep in your gastrointestinal tract this morning.
Go Cats.
Yes, indeed.
Story of a different note. Osama bin Laden wasn't just worried about his wife going to the dentist. He had three wives at the end, one of which went to a dentist in Iran or Iraq, I forget. And one of his grave concerns found in a document, a trove of paperwork, letters and things, was a note to said wife and others involved in the Osama bin Laden life that he needed to be really careful because the dentist may have implanted a bug in her filling. Yeah. You know, I had the same problem a few years ago. My dentist, Dr. Crombie, he put a listening device in my teeth. It was unbelievable. But it turns out it just helped him listen to the show more clearly.
Right.
It's like a transmitter.
I think a bug in Osama bin Laden's wife's tooth would be terrible reception. Think
yeah.
about that. I mean, she can't talk, really.
No.
Their wives are so subservient.
You know, if it was like a Wi-Fi thing that gave him better Wi-Fi there at the compound, that would be good. But remember, he was watching porn on videotape. You know, so he wasn't exactly, catching up to the latest in technology.
Didn't he have like 29, didn't he leave $29 million or he had?
He did.
In his will?
You know, he did what most of us would do. He wanted most of it to go to terrorists. Mm. Yeah. He thought, where can my money serve its greatest interest? And he wanted it to go to terrorists, yeah. not his 11 or 12 or 28 kids or whatever the hell he had. And then there's this story, and this will create some arguments today. A South Carolina teacher has been forced to resign after one of her students stole her phone and it had a naked picture of her on it. And the kid, of course, immediately shared it with all the classmates. Leanne Arthur said that the school district bosses in Union County, South Carolina, told her to quit her job after the unidentified student found the semi-nude photo she had taken for her husband. The district's David Eubanks told the local TV station that the 13-year teaching veteran, by the way, it's station WYFF. I don't like when people do the local station thing. Mm-hmm. Give them credit. WYFF said the 13-year teaching veteran was at fault for leaving her phone unlocked on her desk when she went out of the room, making the pictures available to the student. The student reportedly took a picture of the phone with his own phone before saying he would send it along to any of his classmates who wanted to see the teacher naked. It was also shared on social media. The partially naked photo, I assume it's a topless shot, partially naked photo that is now on the internet forever. This is the Aaron Andrews problem. You can't, once it's out there, you can't get it back.
You know, I still don't understand that whole concept. You take a naked picture of yourself for, even if it's for your husband or your spouse or whoever.
There's a risk.
Wouldn't he see you naked anyway all the time?
Yeah, but you know,
you can't go 2 hours without.
No,
being naked.
Look, it's the middle of the afternoon, and maybe you'd like to see see you naked. You know, maybe you just, listen. I can't be with you now to ask you to take your shirt off. Maybe I just want to pop on the phone. Look at there. Can't wait to get home. That kind of thing.
Still, I don't get it.
A petition to reinstate the teacher praised her dedication to her students and has had about 1,000 signatures as of this morning. The principal said the day of reckoning is coming for the student who did this. The obvious question here is this. Are you entitled to have private stuff on your phone in a public place that could be stolen by somebody else who puts their little pervert pictures out?
You should be entitled to privacy. Absolutely.
But you don't understand why they do it in the first place.
I don't get it. Yeah. Let me see your phone.
Oh, you've seen all the naked pictures of me. I send them to you all the time and you keep sending them back. I just don't, Dave, I don't, if she, look, she's a good teacher. So what's the net effect here? The net effect is you lose a good teacher. But I don't know that I can completely condemn the school either because now this teacher is going to be in front of this classroom and I don't think they're going to be focused on what's coming out of her mouth.
No, they're not going to be focused on math anymore. No.
On top of the fact that these are middle schoolers who are just starting to figure out what naked people, well, who am I kidding? They're not having as much sex as I hope. Sure, I hope they're not having much sex is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So that's out there today as well, the teacher from South Carolina. And as you drive to work this morning and you've got naked pictures on your phone, maybe that's the net effect of this. Maybe the net effect of this is you're going to be more careful with your phone today.
I would hope so. That's why. And wouldn't it be password protected too?
No, she left it unlocked.
Oh.
That's what the teacher said. The school said she left it unlocked.
Not cool.
There is a... I suppose... I don't have any naked pictures on my phone, as far as any of you know. But I will be sending those out to listeners who make the appropriate requests and file the proper paperwork. But I suppose... I don't know. Maybe people do it a lot. It's they don't think about it. But if you had naked pictures of yourself on your phone, would you leave it anywhere?
No. Absolutely not.
Wouldn't you hold
not.
It with you all the time?
I still wouldn't take the picture and send it anyway.
I don't know that I'd even, like in this case, would you even send it to the husband or would you just take the picture and show him your phone? Give it back.
Here, babe, see you tonight.
So I feel badly for her for losing her job, but I do understand the school making the move. If the move was made because they can't be, you know, they're not going to be able to have her be a serious teacher with these goofballs. If they just did it to punish her, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Give the poor woman her job back. Although maybe she'll get other career opportunities now.
Hey, yeah, Kev.
Steve, it's Kevin.
Nobody can hear you and I and Andrea right now, can they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You notice how quiet Dave was during this segment?
Yeah, Dave, he probably...
You think he's got something to hide?
...can relate to this a little bit.
No.
Dave, let me see
your
phone.
I was just very interested in the story. I think you guys had a good conversation going.
Dave and Adam Chappelle didn't say anything. You know,
let me see your phone.
Most quiet.
Here's my phone. I have nothing to hide. Here. Go ahead.
It's 6:29. We'll be back with the big story. If Andre has been able to get through all of Dave's photos by then.
That's it's going to take a long time.
On 720 WGN. Dave, I was just looking at Forbes' list of the richest sports owners is out. And we have a 49,000 filters and blockers on all Tribune computers. I can't even get to the site. But I did notice on the Fox Sports story, Lawrence Tisch, owner of the New York Giants, at $3.5 billion, was the richest owner in sports. And I thought it was good that Fox Sports used a picture of Frank Gifford, who they apparently think is Lawrence Tisch. Frank Gifford, the dead former New York Giant. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Played there. Not the same guy. But I'd be curious how Rocky's doing. I believe he's doing very well.
Let's see. I'm doing a quick scan of the list, and the top name, actually, of the NHL owners.
Yeah, I don't care about the top name. How are the Chicago names?
I'm looking.
All right, we'll do that research, Dave, because I'm not talking to you anymore.
Well, Jerry Reinsdorf is on the NBA list, but he's well down the list. The richest owner in sports is an NBA owner, and that's Steve Ballmer.
Sure. Microsoft money.
Yep, $23.5 billion, his net worth.
Yep. Yep, makes sense.
They list Jerry Reinsdorf in here as, and of course, he shows up in both the MLB and the NBA lists.
Uh-huh.
And
what's Jerry got? How much money?
They've got Jerry listed at $1.3 billion.
Jerry, you know what, Jerry Reinsdorf? Jerry Reinsdorf's doing very well.
Doing okay, but you know
who's... No. Not okay.
Very well. Yeah, but he's like $20 billion behind Steve Ballmer.
Once you get to a billion, you know, life's pretty good.
Well, you know who's... You know who's right behind him on the list?
Who's that?
One of his former players.
Michael B.?
Yep.
Yeah.
$1.1 billion.
Yeah, that's not bad. And the cool thing about Michael Jordan, the way he made his money, is he lent his name to a lot of people and never spent a dime. You know, there's a science to that. I salute him. I do. I give away money left and right. Here, you want some money? Here, take my wallet.
Yeah. Give me
Michael Jordan
that.
Would never do that. But see if you can find out Rocky's doing and
the
Ricketts family.
Mm-hmm.
And Virginia Hallis is on here, the Hallis family, but they have no wealth listed with her. In other words, I don't know how she could be on the list if you can't determine what she's worth. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think when the individual's net worth is based on the value of the franchise.
Yes.
And I think that's the case with the McCaskey family. I mean, that is their family business.
Well, maybe she has $11. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that should be included there.
Yeah, if it's a list of the Forbes richest owners, you'd like to know how much money they have.
I will find
out. By the way, these numbers are wildly inaccurate most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is very speculative. Yeah. Including the value of the franchises.
Yeah, like they saw a guy and they know a guy who met a guy who may at one point have seen a guy who knows. That kind of thing.
Right.
So. He said.
Exactly. Hillary Clinton won 7 states last night. Bernie Sanders not credited with 4, but But the delegate spread gets deeper because more super delegates end up getting pledged to Hillary.
You know?
That's actually a barking Democratic frontrunner. And Donald Trump won 7 as well. So America's long national nightmare of a Trump-Clinton runoff for the White House continues. It's 6:46. Let's get traffic from Adam Chappelle, and then Karen Conti joins us.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's here. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are things at the new Conti Law Firm?
They are just so fabulous. They are really fabulous.
Do you offer snacks and beverages to prospective clients?
We sure do.
Okay.
We sure do. Absolutely.
So if I come in today with some cockamamie story about how it wasn't me, will I get offered, what will I get, bottled water?
Bottled water, Diet Coke, and whatever else you want. It's all about the free food.
What about snacks? Do you have snacks?
We have snacks, yeah, whatever you want. Yep.
I don't know, I like an apple or a banana maybe, something like that.
Just send your order in, Steve, and we'll make sure it's served up to you.
Could you have one of your people run out and get me a banana? That's the kind of client you want. How do people get a hold of you at the Conti Law Firm?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Let's go through some stories in the news this week. Apple won its first legal round in the security feud with the FBI, but it's not over yet, right?
Right. It's interesting. This is not the case in California that's been publicized, but it's another case, and the court came down the other way. The court said we can't force Apple to decode a phone, and it's an undue burden. And basically, the judge said, if you want laws otherwise, have the legislators draft them, because as far as the court goes, the court's going to strike those things down. And so, you know, we have two different precedents in two different places, which means that I think this is heading for a U.S. Supreme Court decision at some point.
How come nobody's talking about the government should hire the best hacker they could find to do it, and the government ought to pay for it? Why does Apple have to do it?
Yeah, well, you think that would happen. I think the government just doesn't pay as well as private industry. And you know, this is a very interesting issue, and it really touches a lot of people. And there's good, good arguments on both sides that, yeah, we should be helping people. We should be helping the government fight terrorism. But do we really make our private employers do things for the government? That's a scary precedent to set.
So if the FBI threw the kitchen sink at it and said, we want a back door to all iPhones going forward, and all this kerfuffle came up. Kerfuffle, by the way, a legal term. Going forward, could Apple go back to the court and amend the motion or their ask to say, we just want the one phone and we're willing to have everything destroyed beyond that, and therefore tamp down some of the argument Apple's made?
Sure. I mean, there could be some kind of compromise deal, but I just don't think Apple's going to compromise. I think they're going to use this as a publicity issue, and also they're going to just stand strong that, you know, they are about privacy, and people feel very private about their cell phones, and they should. And I think this is going to be a fight that's ongoing, and Apple's going to spend a lot of money in legal fees fighting it all the way to the end.
Bill Cosby's next court appearance in his sexual assault case indefinitely postponed. Why?
Interesting. In Pennsylvania, years ago, back in 2005, the prosecutor made a deal with Cosby and said, we're not going to prosecute you if you just go ahead and give a deposition in a civil case against, with this woman. And the case was settled. So when they now brought charges all these years later, Cosby's lawyers, of course, brought that written agreement and said, listen, you can't prosecute me now. That was a deal that was done back then. And, of course, the prosecutor said, well, that's a different prosecutor. And there's a real question as to whether or not that deal bound the prosecution's office from, stopping them from prosecuting. I think they're actually going to win this one, and I think Cosby's going to walk again.
Were you surprised, Karen, that his wife had to testify in the other suit, or the judge had said
that? No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, you know, listen, Cosby also brought arguments for defamation and loss of reputation, and she's the business manager. So who's going to testify about his losses but his wife, who's the boss? So, I mean, you know, when you bring a lawsuit, you can't just hide behind it and say, oh, you're just bothering me. Well, litigation is very bothersome, and people get deposed all the time. And family members get deposed, business managers get deposed. For her to stand there and say she shouldn't be deposed, I think it was just She's going nowhere with that argument.
But I thought there was some sort of protection with a husband and a wife because the court couldn't trust the testimony. Isn't there some thought about that?
There is a spousal privilege, which is very limited, and it basically says, you know, you can't force a spouse to say things against another spouse, but these are things that aren't relating to conversations. These might just be the books and records of Bill Cosby, Inc., whatever that is. And it might be things that she observed. So, yes, there is a spousal privilege, but you would invoke that during the deposition and say, I'm not answering it because it's spousal privilege, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that would definitely come up that she would have to answer.
So the judge has latitude.
Judge has latitude. And listen, they're going to call her. If the case goes to trial and he wants to prove that his reputation was damaged, they're going to call her. So, of course, the other side gets to depose her before that happens.
Last one. Scalia's replacement hasn't even been nominated yet, and the fight goes from politics back to the court because we could have a major decision in the next couple of days. Well, it won't be announced for a bit, but a major case being considered that if it goes to the 4-4 tie, the decision that could be swung by a newly appointed and approved justice could change the law, or in this case, maybe nothing changes. We're talking about a major abortion case out of the state of Texas. Pick it up from there.
Well, court down there basically upheld some restrictions, and these restrictions are very severe on abortion clinics. This is an area, of course, where most people are against abortion, and so these restrictions are waiting periods and certain licensing issues, and this is going up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and our court is very divided on the issue of whether these types of restrictions should be upheld. And with Scalia gone, it's going to be very close. And the pundits are saying that it's basically 4-4. And, excuse me, and if that happens, we're, excuse me.
Sorry. Get some of that free water you're handing out to your clients.
I know, really. We're going to have a tie. And if we have a tie, then the lower court's opinion stands. So the restrictions would then be upheld. So, you know, that's not the way we want cases to be decided. We want the full court, and the
right
reason that we have nine is that we don't have ties that way. And so this is going to really affect the branch of government, this little standoff that's going on.
Karen, one more quickly for you. Ted Cruz yesterday, coincidentally on Super Tuesday, the judge in Illinois tossed out the Ted Cruz citizenship challenge in court in Chicago, but based on a technicality, because I guess the complaint wasn't served directly to him. If there wasn't a technicality, would that have gone forward, or could that have?
You know what? I really don't have a good opinion on that, because I don't understand how someone has standing to bring it. When you bring a lawsuit of any type, you have to have a dog in the fight, and I don't understand how anybody does that. I'm not sure how this technicality went, but I mean, I assume they're going to refile it in some way to get rid of the technicality. But again, these things are seem to me to be diversions rather than, from what I've seen, he's qualified to run, and this is just a way to, you know, another way to jab the candidates.
Standing meaning you have to be harmed in the case?
Exactly. Okay. Just because I see something go on that I don't like, I can't just bring a lawsuit and sue somebody. I have to actually have been harmed, and someone has to owe me a duty. Someone has to have breached it. I had to have suffered some sort of damages. And that makes sense, because we don't want people suing for something we don't like. That's just not the way it works.
Yeah, there's a long line of people who feel harmed about Ted Cruz.
They're going to say about
long
you.
Long line of people that don't like Ted Cruz. Imagine lawsuits. Thank you, Karen Conti, and the brand new Conti Law Firm. Again, what's the website or the phone number?
The website is K-Conti Law, a brand new website, and my email address is kconti@kcontilaw.com, 312-332-7800.
The prison debate team that beat the Harvard debate team. Story on that coming up, plus the Tribune Media family got a little bit bigger overnight. Somebody in the Tribune Media family has a couple new kids, two new kids, not one, two.
Mm-hmm. Twins.
So, man, were we surprised to hear about Orion and Gloria. It's a couple of minutes before 7, back with the news next on 720 WGN.
I know it was a very tough night for Marco Rubio. He had a tough night, but he worked hard. He spent a lot of money. He is a lightweight, as I've said many times before.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to Station WGN.
I got my guitar. taught myself to play yesterday afternoon. Can you imagine if half the crap in my head were true? How different would the world look?
A lot of it's true. Well, okay, some of it's true.
Wait, you didn't learn how to play the guitar last
No, I'm just saying half of the other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember a couple weeks ago on the show we had a woman named Loretta who called in? I don't remember why she called or what she won, but Loretta called in and she was an aquarium historian of some kind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she sent us a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Like aquarium water bottles. I don't know if these are the ones the monkeys use or whatever, but...
And we asked her what
they smell clean.
We asked her what her favorite animal was, and she said the turtles.
That's right. She liked the turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, lovely woman. Thank you for that. And thank you to Kathy O'Toole, who she won some of the Hawks tickets from her friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Sent a nice note as well. I get all of your mail, people. And unlike the constituents you elected in Springfield and Washington, I like to respond, even if it's just on the air. All right, so Kyle Cheney's on the phone at Kyle D. Cheney, Cheney, for Politico. Good morning, Mr. Cheney.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Bitter, disillusioned, just like half of America.
Like America, exactly.
Yesterday was a huge day for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. From the folks you've spoken to, let's do it this way. First off, give me the summation of yesterday. Is there any reason to believe that those two can be stopped?
It's gotten incredibly hard. It's getting a lot harder to believe that those two can be stopped. They really solidified their position as front runners yesterday, just crushing victories, especially on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. But Trump, too, just kind of ran away with the South. And so it's hard to imagine them being stopped, although they're definitely going to try.
And of the states that were won yesesterday, were any, significantly crushing to Cruz / Rubio or Kasich, for that matter, where somebody's got to get out?
You're going to see the pressure ramp up on Kasich. I think more than anything, there are no huge surprises. I think Cruz winning Texas was that if Trump had won there, that would have been over for him. But Kasich, it was the difference for in a few of these states where Rubio might have won, like in Virginia, for example. So you're going to see a lot of establishment pressure on Kasich to get out. I don't think he will until Ohio in a couple of weeks, but that may be the largest thing that happens is that ramp up to really push Kasich out of this race.
On the Democrat side, Bernie Sanders, and by the way, you got to give Cruz credit. Everybody doesn't hate him. Cruz won, was it three or four states last night? Three?
It was three. It was Oklahoma and Alaska as well as Texas.
Yeah, and then Sanders won four. So there's pressure on Bernie Sanders as well now. Bernie Sanders has even made a statement and said, it's not just about winning the election. It's about the conversation and about the revolution. Is he getting, teeing himself up at some point to step aside?
He may be. I think, he also said in the same breath that he's going to take this fight to the convention. So he kind of can have it a little bit both ways. But it's hard to see his past now. I mean, Clinton didn't just win in some of these southern states. She dominated by 50 points across the South. She won Massachusetts, which that's sort of the liberal stronghold of the country that Sanders had hoped to pull out a win there. I mean, so she really undercut a lot of his rationale and argument that he has a path to the nomination. So he may stick around for a while and push his message, but it's harder to see him becoming the nominee.
Kyle, we're seeing Chris Christie a lot, too. I saw him making a few stump appearances yesterday and the day before, of course, for Donald Trump. Do you see any other alliances forming within the Republican Party? I know earlier there was talk about Kasich Rubio somehow joining forces to try to usurp Trump.
Yeah.
Any sort of GOP alliances that you could foresee?
I've even heard Rubio Cruz, not necessarily that it will happen, but this sort of subtle movement happening to push them together. They may hate each other, they may not get along, but for the good of the party, if they join forces, they could be unstoppable. I think it's maybe more of a more wishful thinking for Republicans who just are desperate for anything to derail Trump, but there was talk about that kind of a fusion ticket between the two of them.
Trump sort of hinted last night that his immigration policy is not so firm, and then 2 seconds later said, oh, yeah, we're going to build the wall. I know the truth is optional with this guy, but is any of that sinking in this morning?
I doubt it any more than it's sunk in over the last few months. He did, you know, I think he raised some eyebrows when he pointed out that like, everything with him is a negotiation. So maybe on the strong principled stance he's taking, he's, you know, once he gets in into office, he'll cut deals and maybe walk away from that. To be honest, I didn't find it that remarkable that he's going to sit and work with Congress and try to come up with a compromise. I think where it hurts him is in a primary when conservatives are looking for someone who's going to dig their heels in for those principles. It's harder to argue that you know he's the guy to do that.
Yeah, because again and again, he's proven to be the guy that says one thing and either can't
right.
deliver or is more than willing to change his opinion going forward. If he's right. not held to any, but here's the most dangerous piece of this. If you are not a Donald Trump supporter, and by the way, I don't know if you noticed, I'm not. if he's not held to any consequences for his line of BS, why would he change?
Right. I mean, and it's where he's winning is incredible too. I mean, winning. This is a New York billionaire who's not known for his modesty or his politeness. He's winning in the South. You know, the bastion of conservatism in the country, and you know, there's clearly they're buying what he's selling in a bigger way than they are in the other guys. So. Yeah, I don't see any reason for him to change what he's been doing.
Have we ever had an election where the greatest hope for the democracy is the hope for multiple indictments or court actions? Because Trump will be in court to defend his Trump University scam next month.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton very likely is still, well, not it's not even likely. She's still in serious trouble, not just with the email thing. This big mm-hmm. underreported story about the Clinton Global Initiative and donations that were made and things that could be a problem for her campaign. But it appears that America only wants these two.
And to be honest, that sort of touches on the other question is what's Bernie's hope here? You know, well, if he stays in and something like that, some bombshell drops, some other shoe drops in these court actions, maybe that's his moment. Maybe that's the big thing he needs to happen to change the trajectory of the Democratic race. And that's that nobody can guess, but if he quits, then that's not going to help him.
So Kyle, if, or maybe I should say when Trump gets the Republican nomination, do you see the party getting together and either A, rallying behind him somehow, maybe proposing a very conservative vice presidential nominee, or the opposite, saying, all right, we need to strategize and get somebody else in here?
I saw something amazing yesterday. I think a lot of people did. That Lindsey Graham said, "Hey, maybe we need to rally around Ted Cruz," who that would have been unthinkable a week ago. And I think you're seeing this split within the party now of Republicans who say we can't live under a party that's run by Donald Trump. So I think you will see efforts. I don't know if they'd be serious efforts to form a new party or recruit a third party candidate. Take out Trump, it would be to the defeat of Republicans, but it may be the only way to salvage what they view as the true nature of the Republican Party.
Well, and you know, the bottom line, we'll let you go, Kyle, but the bottom line on this is if there are people that truly believe Trump is dangerous, if there are people that truly believe mm-hmm. that Hillary is a pathological liar, get off your ass and vote. You know, get out and actually go to the polls during these primaries and have your voice heard, because guess what? Trump supporters are doing it. Trump supporters are out there. Hillary supporters are out there, not in the same kind of numbers. The Republican numbers are huge. So if you're really concerned about it, instead of sitting around and yeah. complaining about it, get out and vote in your state. We got Illinois coming up in 2 weeks. There's no excuse not to vote.
Yeah, it's true. And Illinois is one of those bastions where a guy like John, an establishment guy like John Kasich wants to do well. Probably won't. But you're right. I think Trump seems to be the only one who's really motivating people and driving these massive turnout numbers.
President Trump. All right. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Kyle Chaney from Politico at Kyle D. Chaney, if you'd like to read his stuff. And, of course, it's Politico.com. /7:25, big story coming up. Earthquake this morning?
Yeah, 7.9 magnitude quake.
7.9?
Yeah, it's
where?
Just west. It's just near Australia, actually right off the coast of Indonesia. They've issued a tsunami warning.
Yeah, no kidding. That's where the huge quake in 04 was.
That's right. They're calling this a shallow quake, and it's southwest of Sumatra. It has a depth of about 6 miles, which obviously is big. The epicenter is just southwest of Padang. So I guess it's
7.9. Wow.
Best news so far, no immediate reports of damage or casualties. However, you know, the after effects.
Well, the grave concern is the tsunami.
Yeah, the tsunami and shallower earthquakes, too. So we're following that as well.
Congratulations to our friend Aaron McElroy and Demetrius Ivory. You know Demetrius. I don't really know Demetrius at all.
Oh, he's such a great guy.
We know Aaron. Aaron's a friend.
She's awesome. Love Aaron.
And they now have twins.
How about that?
Married just a little over a year. I think it was, what, December of 14 or something they
got
married?
They had a very kind of quiet ceremony.
Right.
Beautiful wedding and beautiful people. I mean, they're beautiful people inside and out.
Aaron's got a couple of kiddos.
Mm-hmm, she does.
Aaron told us a very funny story on the air at one point. Aaron and her first husband had two children, and at one point there was a discussion, and the little boy went, "Wait a minute, I'm Mexican? Why wasn't I told?"
Little redhead boy, red hair, freckles.
Right. But at any rate, a really, really honest and I think helpful story done by Dina Bear at the WGNTV.com website talking about the fact that Aaron was struggling with being able to bring a baby to full term.
Right.
And doctors were very honest and said, look, this is probably not going to happen for you guys. So they connected with something called the Center for Egg Options to find a surrogate. And the surrogate came through, and now they got twins.
How about that? Twin girls, Harlow Winter and Hadley Walker, both have weather-themed names. Of course, Harlow Winter and Hadley Walker.
Think Demetrius may have been involved
in that? Actually, they got married on the winter solstice. That was their wedding day.
As I read through the story, and I'm still finishing it, I would advise anybody that's going through this to read it because you'd get inspiration from it and a great deal of respect and admiration for Demetrius and Aaron for the honesty and the struggle they had and everything. And I can tell you, you know, you're working at Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's working at Channel 9. You know, we're all Tribune Media folks, and we know these guys. I didn't know anything about this.
No,
I didn't know they were going through this at all.
I didn't either. And you're right, Steve. This is such a wonderful story because, and Dina throws in such interesting facts that 7 million women agonize with infertility in the country.
Yeah.
And this is their journey, and it's just a beautiful story, and they have two beautiful girls now. So congratulations to both of them.
Yeah, Demetrius, first-time dad, right?
First-time daddy.
Good for him, man. No, nothing better than that. 728, we'll come back, get your big story shortly, and we're going to talk TV. If you want to get your TV questions in, that'll be a part of our Anything But Trump half hour. Maybe we can stretch that out longer because I'm tired of talking about all of it. But, you know, I'll jump back at it. I just say that. But the TV gal, Kim Potts.
Yeah, I can't
wait. From Yahoo.
And how excited are you? A couple days away from House of Cards.
House of Cards will be back Friday, I believe.
Yes.
I think that's when the new season's up on Netflix.
Are you going to binge watch this weekend?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally finished Homeland.
Yes.
Well, good for you, Dave. I'm sure everybody involved in the production are relieved since you forbade me from saying anything about Homeland for years.
Well, I know every time we've talked to Kim, I had to kind of tune out whenever the
topic. Let me ask you this. Is it okay to talk about it now that you've finished it? What if there are people out there who haven't?
Well, I think out of consideration for them, you might want to hold off.
So we can never talk about it?
No, we have to talk about it.
I think we can now.
Okay.
Now that I
think
that's very cool.
It was pivotal.
729, big story next, 720 WGN. Musical director John DeCoste with the Kim Potts theme.
Her Downton Abbey is all over. Also, American Idol needs someone inside with some inside info. All shows across the nation get updates from this station on GN, Steve Cochran Morning Show. The best of the biz, she is Kim Potts. TV screener who working for Yahoo.com. You just have to ask and then listen, cause she's in the know, and she knows the shows that will stay or go. I'm just gonna hear what she has to say. There ain't no better reason this entire TV season to listen to Kim Potts today.
How about that? I love that. I love that almost as much as Kim Potts loves that. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Steve.
Never gets
You're
old.
Right, I love it. It doesn't.
Never, ever, ever gets old. Let's start with what matters. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Nice to talk to you again. We don't have you on nearly enough. But then again, a lot of times we'll call and Kim is out campaigning for Trump. It's really surprised me. Totally surprised me. I didn't see that coming. There's got to be scriptwriters all over Hollywood writing TV, movies, TV, pitches for this incredibly bizarre campaign. And that leads me to the return of Frank Underwood and the campaign, which is entitled FU16, which is a TV show, but it really ought to be what we're calling this campaign. Frank Underwood is back. House of Cards is back. What do you hear?
I hear that it's a little better than season three. I think a lot of people actually gave up, maybe not even halfway through season three. So I think it may be worth joining in again. Although, as you said, this nothing they can write can compare to what's actually happening. So that may be an unexpected problem for them. It just isn't going to measure up to what we're actually experiencing.
I got to tell you, season three was really dark. I mean, really dark. But I liked it better than season two. Season two was a disappointment. Season three started out with the scene that was really appalling, and now you go, well, that's probably what Trump does. But I like season three. It was mostly about Frank and his wife. Is this going to continue along that storyline, or is it going to be more about running the country?
I think it's definitely about the election, but I think it's you have to focus in on that couple. I mean, that really is, I think, the heart of the show is that couple, their portrayals, their performances by Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright, and obviously a lot unresolved with them at the end of season three. So they definitely have to go through that in season four.
Do you remember the last scene?
I do, yeah.
When Robin Wright's walking out?
Yeah. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Kim, they did show, when they showed the trailer for House of Cards for this season, they, I don't know if it was a tease or a flashback, they showed Kate Mara, they showed Rachel Brosnahan. No chance of them coming back at all. I mean, I know they
one
meant
them,
their demise,
one of them
but
can't, yeah.
I think that what they're kind of teasing us about is that those things may come back to haunt Frank.
Okay,
so
got it.
Yeah. I think he's definitely going to have to deal with some stuff, not just the marital stuff, but the things that he's done.
Yeah, and there's this undercurrent of bisexuality with him, which you know is is another thing that is probably ripe for storylines. I would think. There was the Secret Service agent in past seasons, but that's got to come up again, I would think.
I think so, too. And I think especially as, again, as they delve a little bit into or a lot more into the Underwood marriage, a lot of that stuff is going to come up. I think they both still have a lot of secrets that we do not know about that maybe even, you know, we always think that they kind of, one of the beauties of their relationship, I think, is that they do know most of each other's secrets and that has kind of forged this extra bond with them. But I think that we might learn this season that there are some things that even they don't know about each other.
All right, so that's the big TV news of the week. But let's go around the room now and let everybody ask their questions. Andrea.
Oh, well, I will ask about Good Wife, but I want to ask about The Americans, too, Kim. That's coming back. I was a little disappointed last season. Loved the first season, but kind of last time.
This season starts off, and they jump right into it. You know, we found out last season that Paige, their teenage daughter, now knows that there's a spy. That they're spies. She was so upset about it that she confided in her pastor, and that's going to become a huge, huge problem because it turns out that he has some issues with that. He, you know, wonders if there's something he needs to do about that. If she's safe, if they're safe, if the country is safe. So the early part of the season becomes very much about them deciding what they have to do, if they need to do anything about him.
And it's so embarrassing when you find out your parents are spies. Right. Mom, Dad, I can't have anybody over. It's so embarrassing. You're sneaking around, pretending you're other people, sleeping with the neighbors, shooting people. Oh, hate it.
Oh, my God.
Hate it.
And I never thought we'd be having this conversation, Kim, but six episodes left.
I know. I know. It's, you know what, and it's still, it seems so shocking. I mean, there were the rumors that the showrunners had confirmed they were leaving, but I don't know. I honestly thought it would go on at least another season. Yeah, we're rapidly heading towards that May eighth series finale. You know, they've promised that it'll be surprising and inevitable is the words they keep, are the words that they keep using. They're not going to jump ahead in time, which I think is also interesting. So I think things are going to snowball, and they're going to have to wrap up a lot of things in the next few weeks.
Everybody else on the staff gets to ask a question, including our guest Mary Sandberg, if she has a TV question this morning. And Adam Chappelle filling in for Mary. And apparently Grzanich quit. I haven't seen him at the mic in hours. But if Grzanich has a TV question as well, he could jump in. We'll come back with all of that. But first, traffic. And Adam, do that before you ask your TV question, will you?
Fair enough.
Nicely done. .753, stand by, Old Man Comet about to come, and action. I don't like the streaming thing. I don't like binge-watching shows. And really, it's a matter of self-discipline, but I like having a show that stretches out for a while. Because if I watch all of House of Cards this weekend, then what? I got two more years before it comes out again.
Well, then you can't talk about it in front of Dave for like three more years.
But you have the option, Steve. You're not required to binge watch. You could still watch once a week.
No, it's being forced on me. Okay. Oh, so you're saying I should set a time each week where I pretend it's on?
Oh, I don't know. That seems to work.
Where I tell people, oh, I got to go home and watch House of Cards because it's on now. Hey, Steve, it could be on anytime.
Right.
All right, Dave, what's your question for Kim Potts?
All right, Kim, first of all, I have great news for you. I finally finished Homeland.
Oh,
fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way, it was great. It was a great season. And when does it come back again?
It comes back in the fall and is largely set in New York City.
Oh wow, okay. That'll be...
That's your question?
Yeah. No, that's not...
Okay, that was your question?
I just knew.
When does it come back? Is your question?
Well, that's part of it.
All right. What
but
else?
Billions. I've really gotten to like Billions.
You and I are on such separate pages.
We
here.
Totally disagree on this. But how is it being received overall?
It's been received well. I think it partly it's a victim of the same thing that every show is a victim of now, is just that there's so much out there on all the streaming places, on all the networks, the cable networks, the broadcast networks. And that they're all of them have these huge stars in them now. So it's not like that's even something that really makes you stand out anymore. So I think it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle in that sense. But I think people who there is definitely a devoted fan base and they really love it.
Here's why I don't like Billions. There is literally nobody on that show that's likable. There's not a single character on that show where you can feel like, you know, have you seen it?
I've seen one episode. I feel that way about House of Cards. You hate everybody.
Yeah, who do you like on House of Cards?
They're
different.
All jerks.
That's different because I don't see it the same way.
And they're politicians.
Yeah. You know, I watch it once a week. What do I know? You disagree about Billions, Mary Sandberg?
I don't like Billions.
Whoops, hold on. I got to find a mic that works for you. There it is.
Oh, sorry. I do. I like Giamatti's wife.
She's a bitch.
And that's what I like.
She's like running the thing. So unlikable.
I love her.
If right, I may.
Yeah, Adam. Apparently, Adam, go ahead.
Kim, question, when are we finally going to see the old trio from Top Gear's Amazon show come out?
Oh, I think they're planning right now summer. I know that they've been adding a lot of cast.
Top Gear's the British car show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they're sometime this summer.
Sometime this summer. And it seems like a summer show, I think.
Yeah. Are you a car guy, Adam?
I am.
You collect, or what do you do? I know what you make. You couldn't collect cars unless they were like Matchbox cars, based on what we pay you.
I was about to say that's my collection right now, outside of that and a Toyota Camry. Mm-hmm. No, but in past jobs where I had more space to actually collect and work on cars, I have had a couple oddball in different cars that I've liked.
Here's the thing. If anybody's got a car problem this week while Adam's here, he could probably fix it in the parking lot.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Cool. Kevin has a problem with his car.
Kevin, what's wrong with your car?
I do. Wiper. Oh, just the windshield wiper. I could figure that out.
Kevin, could you put Kevin's new wipers on?
Sure. Not
Thanks.
A problem.
Okay, Kevin, do you have a TV question?
Kim, last time you were on, we talked about some spinoff shows. There was a spinoff to The Walking Dead. There's been a spinoff now with Breaking Bad with Better Call Saul. Is that trend going to continue in TV? Are there any shows where you could see a potential spinoff? Like, I would like to see a spinoff with just Doug Stamper from House of Cards. Something like that.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be great. And he is going to get his fingers dirtier again this season, I think. Yeah, you know, they're doing yet another spinoff in the Chicago franchise, actually, for next fall. They're working on there's Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and next up, not surprisingly, is Chicago Law. So, I mean, that whole franchise continues to be just huge for NBC. Very reliable ratings winner. So they're adding another one.
They're starting to specialize, too. There's a Chicago proctologist, a Chicago gynecologist.
Dirty job.
Yeah, completely. Mary Sandberg's here. Oh, I would ask Ross if he has a TV question. But, Ross, do you have a baby and you don't watch TV?
That's exactly right.
Okay, let's go to Mary. What's your TV question?
So, Modern Family, I would like to know if Andy and Haley are going to end up being together.
I think so. They won't confirm anything for sure, but I think that they're definitely heading that way. Although, I kind of love the fact that they're stretching it out and drawing as much humor from it as they can. You know, the thing with that show is last year, the year before, the two producers who worked together on it, wrote most of it together, kind of had a little professional split. And so where I think the best episodes are the ones that kind of combine the wacky physical humor and the kind of sweeter storylines. They each kind of specialized in one of those. So now you see episodes, and they write separately. So there will be an episode where it's super over the top and kind of kooky, and then there are these sweeter episodes. So I think that relationship is one of the few areas where they're still kind of blending those two successfully.
Yeah, I don't know if they've jumped the shark, but they can see the shark from here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
630, let's go to the lightning round. 630, Xena Warrior Princess remake. Any chance it's happening, and would Sam Raimi be involved?
I think he is involved. It is definitely happening, though, for sure.
Okay. Hell on Wheels coming back?
Hell on Wheels back for the last 7 episodes in the final season in summer. I think they planned it for summer.
That's from the 773. From the 815, is Halle Berry's extant coming back?
It is not, unfortunately.
Well, wouldn't you figure Halle Berry on TV would be a hit? Right?
You know what, I think they need...
Oh, pun with a hit?
Right.
Yeah. I think they need to put her in something more straightforward. That was a pretty high concept show.
It's kind of out there. Person of interest on CBS?
Hopefully they still have not scheduled it, and the longer that it takes them to schedule, people are thinking it's definitely going to be the last season. They've filmed 13 episodes for their 5th season, and it's ready to go. They just haven't put it on the schedule yet.
People versus OJ, hit?
Oh, huge hit. In fact, that... Not with OJ, but the concept of that series, they are already planning a season 2, which will focus on Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath of that.
Oh, they should do a spinoff with OJ in prison, where they actually lock up Cuba Gooding and the other inmates make fun of him because his head's not big enough to be OJ. You heard that, right? That was OJ's complaint about him.
I can't believe that.
Samantha Bee show, is that happening? Is that working out for TBS?
It is. They're having a hit with that. I think that people were looking for a little bit of a different take after The Daily Show. The new host is not burning up in the ratings like they had hoped, and I think people were looking for an alternative, and they're watching Samantha Bee.
She's awesome. I mean, she is so
funny. She's very funny. The Muppets, Miss Piggy is going to open a meth lab. Is that right?
In a Breaking Bad, another spinoff. They just finished their season last night, actually. That was the season finale.
There was a great screen grab last night from Chris Christie standing behind Trump, and the internet went nuts because Christie's face at various times looked like a number of things, but my favorite was a screen grab of his face where the tag was Chris Christie questioning all of life's decisions because he's looking at Trump like, what the hell did I do? So hopefully they'll get a show together. And I don't mean the White House. And I've got a pitch. You know, I always give you a pitch to take back to Hollywood.
Okay.
What about if we do a roommate show and the roommates are Flo the progressive gal with the AT&T phone girl? And then their annoying neighbor is the terminally happy Toyota chick. He comes over all the time.
Wow. And then that way no one would watch it because they'd all be in the same... They don't be in the same show.
Yeah, I suppose. But they're all so darn likable.
Yeah.
No? Not working for you? All right. These are just ideas. We're just brainstorming.
It's a very specific show.
Yeah, well, you know, just pretend that you like it and take it back to Hollywood and tell me they didn't return your call. It's Kim Potts at TV Screener. She's a TV gal at Yahoo, yahoo.com. Kim, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll come back with your news next on 720 WGN. And Dean has the new Ravinia lineup in a few minutes. Pop Staples. Hey, Mavis. Mavis could do a whole song of prepositions and it'd sound great. Wells is here. This is a big day. This is the new Ravinia lineup. Let me get Dean in here because Dean set this up with Kevin, a lot of high-level meetings. And would you like to introduce our guest officially?
Wells Kaufman is the president and CEO of Ravinia Festival in Highland Park.
Didn't I see him on TV with you a couple hours ago?
You did see him on TV with me a couple of hours ago.
Thanks, Dean.
Plus, he's traveling with heat. He's got his muscle with him today as
He never goes anywhere without his people.
So
usually he's got a four or five piece band with him to provide music, like a soundtrack.
Did you?
Did
you and Donald Trump, buddies?
There's a sentence you never want to repeat again. There's a Wells Kaufman story or two behind something he told us off the air a second ago. Did you know he was in a cover band?
I did not know that.
And tell him what you played, Wells.
Well, I played Fender Rhodes and I operated the dry ice machine. But we did the Duran Duran medley and I was also in charge of the hair. And then we did a Commodores medley as well. Three Times a Lady, Brick House, and something
Everybody
else.
Loves the transition between Rio and Sail On or Three Times a Lady.
Girls on
Your heads explode.
Right. Yeah. And a nice cool beverage.
There you go.
What was your best gig ever? Because I'm guessing you didn't play Ravinia with that band.
It was the summer that Rocky came out, because every junior high and high school dance we played, the theme was Rocky.
Oh, sure.
So, over and over again.
Yeah. I learned Wells' middle name today.
Mm-hmm. It's a great name.
We'll be the judge of that. What is the middle name?
Dean.
Oh, yeah. Look
at that.
Cool. Yeah. It's a good thing.
All right, moving on.
I think we should spend 10, 15 more minutes just on that.
The Ravinia lineup has been announced. It includes Mavis Staples, which is great news for me because I used to be with the band.
You did, yeah.
And maybe Mavis will invite me back. By the way,
new album.
New album and a documentary on Mavis' life that premiered, I think, last night.
And who knew that she and Dylan were almost engaged?
Yeah, how about that? It's Bob Dylan almost married Mavis Staples.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine those singers?
Mavis finally went, what?
She didn't understand what he was saying.
What?
Hey, I don't know if he asked me to marry me or if he asked me to roll down a hill. Unbelievable.
That's going to be a great double
bill. But Dylan has not appeared at Ravinia since 1964.
That's Steve. Correct. That's correct.
He left his wallet and he just realized it was missing.
Then I leave my car keys.
Well, obviously, there is a lot of people that took a lot of drugs in the 60s who love Bob Dylan and think he can sing. But Bob Dylan's great. It's a very cool lineup. We'll go through all of it in just a second, or at least the most of it in just a second. It's a long summer. But at 8:16, first Adam Chappelle with your traffic update, then more with Dean and Wells and your new Ravinia lineup. What do you got, Al? You got to see Mavis Staples at Ravinia this summer, Dean.
I'm ready.
You won't have to go to church on Sunday because it'd be like going to church at Ravinia.
I'll make us a picnic.
Ah, man, I love the Staples. I love Mavis. And that's just one of a summer blockbuster of shows. It's Steve Cochran, it's Dean, and it's our friend WDK. That's his new.
As opposed to WD-40.
That's his new hip moniker now that we know his middle name is Dean.
There you go.
All right, Dean, what are some of your favorite shows you're looking at?
Well, I love the first-timers, Wells, that we've got coming up this year. Just talk about, you know, some of the people who have never appeared at Ravinia who will be for the first time this year.
Absolutely. So Paul Simon, probably the biggest get of all, though Diana Ross right up there as well. Artists that I think people probably thought they've seen at Ravinia a lot, but for the very first time coming to us. I'm also very excited about a Billy Bob Thornton Marty Stewart show in September. A lot of people not know what Billy Bob as a singer, but he's a fantastic songwriter and singer. And
is he bringing his band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boxmasters.
And how about Don Henley? He's got a new album to sell.
Huge. So one of my favorite shows from 2004 was a late booking. Absolute Cracker Jack band. Did I say Cracker Jack?
I did say Cracker Jack.
A really
Jack.
Wonderful band. All the Eagles stuff, all his solo stuff, two nights in August.
You know there'll probably be some sort of Glenn Frey tribute as
no question. Sure.
Part of that. But that's not there are other tributes this year. Probably the biggest will be the David Bowie tribute night, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think Steve's going to come and dress like Bowie, is that right?
Just like today.
Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, thought so.
The makeup's a little weak, but we can get that going for September.
It's early.
Yeah.
We don't call him Steve Stardust for nothing.
That's exactly right.
You know, we lost Maurice White, too, from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Glenn Frey, and Bowie. It's a really sad year.
Start to the year.
Yeah, very, very strange.
And as this lineup rolls out, everybody's going, all right, all right, all right. How do I get tickets and win?
Yeah. So if you would be so kind as to help us with the work we do for underserved kids in the Chicago Public Schools and in Lake County, become a donor, and you can start your ticket buying experience on the 9th of March. That's a week from today. General public online sales, April 26th. So that's for Train, Seal, Bonnie Raitt. Wonderful combination of Los Tigres del Norte, the great Norteño band, with this beautiful group of mariachi women called the Mariachi Floor. And it's the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's 80th anniversary at Ravinia.
Lots yeah. Now, are there packages, 5-show packages, 10-show packages? Or it's all per show.
It's all per show, except for the cycles that we have for chamber music. So all the Beethoven String Quartets, Beethoven Piano Sonatas, Bach, Haydn, etc.
Also, Steve, you know, the jazz at Ravinia has... is famous, and among some of the greats who will be there will be the great Wynton Marsalis, but he's doing a violin concerto, right?
Yes. So Wynton actually, he may make an appearance, but he's not performing. He wrote a violin concerto for the gorgeous young English violinist Nicola Benedetti, who did the world premiere back in London in the fall. Great piece. We co-commissioned it with the London Symphony and a variety of other festivals. It's a terrific piece. If you know Wynton's sort of classical pieces, including the most famous work, which is called All Rise, this is a fantastic combination of a classical orchestra, jazz orchestra, and sometimes choir and things like that. It's a really great piece. And on that program, which will open our 80th anniversary CSO residency, we'll also have two big popular pieces of the orchestral repertoire, Pines of Rome and Fountains of Rome. And Fountains of Rome, because we're opening a new aquatic sculpture.
And that's where Dean and I will be performing?
We'll be it will.
We're doing our water ballet.
Water ballet. You're
exactly.
Very, we're very famous for that.
Synchronized swimming.
Hey, Dean, very good news. And Wells is the guy that has to talk to the agents, the managers, the marketers, and get these acts in. And I don't know how he pulled this off, but I'm not making this up. On Sunday, September, let me double check the date. Yep, the 11th. The Bugs Bunny Symphony Orchestra performs live.
Isn't that good?
Those movie nights are really fun.
What movie? It's Bugs Bunny and the Orchestra.
That's right, Steve. The night that Bugs Bunny will be there is really fun. I hosted last year one of the movie nights where they show the movie up on the big screen. And is it the CSO and some other orchestras, right?
Right. So,
perform the music while you watch the movie up on the big screen.
That's right. So the CSO is doing three film nights, two performances of Titanic with that great score by James Horner, and an evening of Gustav Holst's The Planets with NASA film, astronomical photos, really gorgeous. Then at the end of the season, we've got Wizard of Oz with the Chicago Philharmonic and with the Milwaukee Symphony, Bugs Bunny at the Symphony. So it's all that great Looney Tunes music, but also all the great classical music from Wagner and Mozart and Rossini that they wove in. We had so many requests after we did Fantasia, which of course is a great celebration of classical music, that people wanted to see more of that kind of thing.
Is there any chance, what is the new aquatic sculpture that you're putting in? Is there any chance we could actually sink a ship during the Titanic show?
Unfortunately not. It's not that large, and there's no Esther Williams diving either.
Okay. Steve and I will recreate I'm King of the World sequence during that.
Wait, you guys want people to go. Hold on.
Dean loves it when I just wrap my arms around him from behind to make sure he doesn't fall overboard.
Oh, man. It's not even 9 o'clock, guys.
Boy, we're so sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
You're in show business. This is nothing you haven't dealt with.
You probably all know Billy Zane, you know, local boy makes good. Get Billy to come and introduce the show with you and Dean.
But
how about that, Dean?
I'm completely in
Titanic
on,
Nights.
On that.
I'm in for the Henley, and I know Don a little bit, and Henley is such a wildly upbeat guy. He'd like nothing better, Wells, than you calling him and saying, I want my friend Steve Cochran to open for you. He'd love that.
It's that morose gloominess that gives such an edge to his music. That's what we love.
Henley's the best.
He is the best.
Can't wait for that show. I might come both nights.
He's the best songwriter. You know, I put on Boys of Summer the other day just to listen to it, and I thought, this is kind of a cheesy song.
Oh, that's
it
awesome.
Is not a cheesy song. Oh, that whole album is fantastic.
It's awesome.
And all the Eagles stuff.
You know what the theme should be for the campaign in 2016 is Get Over It. Remember the great Eagles song, Get Over It? I'd like to find your inner child and kick his little ass.
Well,
there you go.
Our campaign season, Dirty Laundry, might work. What do you think?
Dirty Laundry would be good as well.
I'm just saying.
Well, very excited for you.
Thanks so much.
You need to take a look at the entire schedule because we are really just skimming some of the big names. Patti LaBelle is going to perform.
With the Commodores.
Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, Patti LaBelle with the Commodores.
Absolutely. With the Commodores. Yeah, it's
there's
be
another
awesome.
Night I've got to commit.
A lot of dry ice.
Seal, Train with Andy Grammer, Bonnie Raitt, and Buddy Guy and Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
But also... celebrating his 90th birthday, Tony Bennett is going to be back on stage at Ravinia. I think it's August 13th.
That's incredible.
I think the day.
Yeah.
He was awesome last year with Lady Gaga. Oh, man, what a great show.
She has injected him with a sort of new life, and he was always doing great. Yeah. But vice versa, she's learned so much from him. Man, is she going places.
Is he still doing that thing in the middle of the act where he does the splits?
I'm sorry?
He will be if he does.
Just wearing veal cutlet.
Oh, God. And we're back to Esther Williams, I guess.
Did you mention Lyle Lovett and Emmylou Harris?
Absolutely right. July 18th. It's going to be a great show.
That's a great one.
Don't forget Duran Duran.
And Judy Collins' tribute to Stephen Sondheim is going to be beautiful. Ladysmith Black Mambazo with Sweet Honey in the Rock. Lots of great stuff. And you did mention Duran Duran, yes.
A lot of things Wells says, I don't even know if they're actual English. I don't know. He's just saying words.
It's good, though, isn't it?
Really is.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks
and
so
for
much.
All the good that the membership, well, membership donors do. Thank you for that in advance.
A real pleasure, and thank you for the time.
So, Steve, again, if you're a Ravinia donor, tickets go on sale March the 9th for general public, the 26th, all at Ravinia.org.
26th of April. So Ravinia.org is right. Thanks, Dean.
So that's a lot of time. It's a lot of front time for you donors to get the best seats.
And to think about things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm king of the world.
Oh, here we go.
King of the world.
All right, anything else we need to know before we run out of time, Dean Richards?
Your hands are so cold, Steve. What? The
President Trump wants us to be on time.
Oh.
They just made an announcement this morning that the Chicago Shakespeare Theater is going to be taking over the space at Navy Pier that has been called the Skyline Stage. It's part of the renovation of Navy Pier. Shakespeare Theater will make that announcement later on today. But that's a pretty big deal in theater news today.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later.
Bye.
And thank you, Wells.
Thank you so much.
Website one more time?
Ravinia.org.
Not so hard to figure out, kids. 829, big story next, 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
After a great win on Sunday against the Caps, one of only two shots in the regular season against the hated Detroit Red Wings. Tonight in Motown, and Tomas Fleischmann, one of the newest Chicago Blackhawks, joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good.
Welcome to I know you're in Detroit, but welcome to Chicago.
Thanks, Steve and Dave, for having me tonight.
Did you spend much time here other than playing here?
Yeah, I spent more time.
What are you looking most forward to away from the ice as a Blackhawk? Are you a fan of great restaurants?
Yes. I like them.
And I know Marian Hossa, a countryman, can steer you to the right places. But what kind of food do you like? Because we want to help you out. What do you love to eat most?
Depends the time of the day.
Well, we're talking dinner. Dinner on a non-game night. What's your go-to meal on a non-game night for dinner?
I probably get some good lamb chops.
Lamb chops.
There you go.
Every great steakhouse in Chicago has great lamb chops. Kevin, where's the go-to place for lamb chops?
You know what? Dean and Andrea probably would know better than I would.
Greek Town. Yeah, go to Athena or Greek Islands. Get some good lamb chops.
Yeah, and here's the deal. If you mention Andrea's name at any of those places, you eat for the regular price.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
So are you excited about the Blackhawks?
Yes, I'm excited.
And what have you been told your role will be on the team?
Right now, I think I was told that it's going to be third line, and we'll see how I play. Then maybe I can go higher.
Now, you've been around this game and around this league a long time. Have you ever been able to look around a dressing room and see that much talent?
Yeah, kind of. I started in Detroit, so.
Oh, yeah, good run, yeah.
So there was Eiserman and Brett Hull and those guys, so it kind of good start there.
Right, so you're not blown away by these guys, but I'm sure you're pretty excited about being able to suit up with Kane and Taves and Seabrook and Marian Hossa, who's hopefully going to be back any day now.
Yeah, it's really exciting, exciting to see those guys, so I'm really appreciated right now.
And your first game with the Blackhawks was at the United Center against one of your former teams, the Washington Capitals, who only are leading the entire National Hockey League right now. What was it like for you to walk in there and then to skate onto the ice in the United Center for the first time with that crowd in such anticipation for that matchup between the Blackhawks and the Caps?
That was very impressive, you know, playing against the old team and with the new team. Fans were buzzing, you know, it was great and got me a lot of energy. So I really enjoyed that.
Give us your initial impression of your new linemate, Teuvo Teravainen.
Oh, he's a pretty skilled centerman. He's playing third line, and usually centerman like this plays first or second. So I'm pretty happy to be on the line with him.
Do you feel like you guys clicked right away?
Yeah, I think so. It's just we try to keep it simple, and I think we were looking for each other on the ice a little bit. So it was fine. I like that.
Part of the deal with the center, it's almost like a point guard in the NBA. You got to be able to dish the puck. So you're a left-handed shot. Where do you like to have the puck come from? Well, I'm not asking you to give away your move or your game here, buddy. I'm just saying, what do we look for as fans?
Anywhere, actually, anywhere so I can shoot and score, you know?
But you got a money shot. Everybody that's played as long as you have has a money shot. Where's your favorite place on the ice to shoot from?
Right circle to the left corner.
Yeah, there you go. and then yelling, eat that, goalie.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of nice. You come to town with your teammate and line mate, now with the Blackhawks, Dale Weiss. Now, as far as you know, has he made it to Detroit yet, or are we still waiting?
Same thing. I'm still waiting, too. He said he might come today, but it's administration thing, so it's hard to know.
Yeah, it's a paperwork thing. You cleared papers.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it weird when you walked in and they said, "Show us your papers"?
Yeah, it was the first question. Do you have a green card or not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's something the fans don't think about. But when you're talking about an international sport with, you know, with borders as close as ours, you do have this back and forth all the time. So it's an extra thing that you guys have to do as a hurdle, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's just the sport. It's just everywhere. Whoever wants to get a job in the U.S. from Canada, it's hard, you know. You got to wait.
Right. You have kids, Tomas?
Yes. One, the daughter. She's almost 2 years.
Oh, so she's not quite old enough to appreciate what a stud you are yet and how good a hockey player dad is.
Yeah, she knows. She understands hockey a little bit.
Does she watch the games?
Yeah, she was watching lately.
Okay. There's a
She doesn't like the commercials.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny. There's a moment, and I don't know how you protected this. I'm just warning you as a parent because the Blackhawk fans are the best fans in sport, as you already know. But when my son was 3, I took him to his first Blackhawks game, and he joined the crowd in a chant of "Detroit sucks." And it was one of those things before, as a parent, before you could tell him why that's not a great thing to say. You know, he's already chanting. So I'm just saying, you know, if your daughter's watching the game tonight or this weekend when you guys come home, just be careful. There's not a lot of love lost between the two fan bases.
Yeah, can see that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, bud. And I know you're going to be a great addition to this team and a great run to the playoffs. Should be nothing but fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Rich Bloom from Grays Lake has the fan question today with the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk. If you weren't playing hockey at this level, if you weren't an NHL star, what would you have done for a living?
That's a tough one, but I was studying for building buildings, so probably something like that.
Like an architect or the guy with the hard hat?
Yeah, yeah, architect.
Architect. Look at you. All right, good to get to know you a little bit. I know we'll do it again. Thanks for being on.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Thank you. Tomas Fleischmann.
Maybe he can help design the new practice facility.
I think those blueprints are in.
Oh, okay. You know, they've already got that done.
They said that would be nice. Sit down with Tomas, go, listen, I know that you're valued to the team, but we have to maximize your value. We need some drawings for the new practice facility.
Let's see how good an architect you really are.
I think it's so cute. You have all these stud hockey players, and they have little girls, you know, like Tomas and Patrick Sharp, and then they become just, you know, these big blubbering dads.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? Fathers and daughters. It's 8:48. Back to your traffic, Adam Chappelle. Music from Harvard this morning, Harvard University. A prison debate team beat the Harvard debate team. I mean, how good is this story? The Harvard College debate team lost to maximum security prison inmates. This is not a story from The Onion. The debate team is part of a larger unorthodox education program for prison inmates called the Bard Prison Initiative. It's administered by Bard College, liberal arts school in Annandale on the Hudson, a couple hours from New York City. Program brings Bard faculty to six different upstate New York prisons and provides liberal arts education and instruction to 300 incarcerated students. Many of these inmate students end up earning a BA or an associate's degree that they can actually do something with when they get out of jail. The BPI debaters are a very highly motivated group. The faculty works with them, and they teach a debate and public speaking course at all the prison locations. But about 20 students at the Eastern Correctional Facility in Neponic, New York, created their own debate team. And it turns out they're really, really good at it. As good as any college debate team. But, you know, when they take on the Harvard College debate team, you're thinking, Harvard's got almost 380 years of the highest level of education. And, you know, these guys are prison inmates. I mean, how well could it go? Well, they sat down in a competition with Harvard. This has got to be a movie, right?
This is really cool.
This is like a movie that writes itself. The prison inmates beating the Harvard debate team. One of them in particular, I'm trying to find his first name here. His last name is Doughty, but he's one of the prison inmates, said in an interview, he said, I read 174 books in 2 years.
How about that?
On all kinds of topics. I'm out now. I still go to the library. Reading was a way, the love of reading was awakened while I was in prison. He recovered from open-heart surgery and crack addiction while behind bars and credits his new life with the Bard program for his fortitude. He said it's a gift from God. The Harvard debate team lost in a close contest, but after the two teams finished debating the topic of public schools having the ability to deny enrollment to undocumented students, an independent panel of college debate judges awarded the win to the inmates.
You know, though, they probably, I mean, of course, they have real-life experience to back it up.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
But the thing is, I mean, it was like a legitimate debate competition.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, it's the prisoners versus the, hey, college boy, you want me to cut you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't any of that. It was an actual debate. So that's a very cool story. If you want to learn more about it, the BPI, the Bard Prison Initiative, spell Bard, B-A-R-D, when you search it. All right, let's get us a little something from Mr. Innit.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Freshwave, the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks. Dave.
Tonight's game in Detroit will mark the first meeting of the year between two old bitter rivals, but it will also mark the first appearance in this storied rivalry between two of the league's most exciting rookies. Kind of a sidelight to the Hawks-Red Wings battle. Red Wings will face the Blackhawks' Artemi Panarin for the first time, and the Blackhawks will have to contend with 19-year-old Detroit sensation Dylan Larkin. Panarin, 5 years older than Larkin, leads all NHL rookies in scoring with 57 points. The 19-year-old Larkin is fourth with 39. Panarin leads in assists with 35. Larkin is fifth with 20. In goals, Panarin leads with 22. Larkin is the second leading rookie goal scorer in the league with 19. Larkin's story is a good one. He grew up a Red Wings fan in Waterford, Michigan, and selected by the Red Wings on the first round of the 2014 entry draft. He began his college career at the University of Michigan, becoming Big Ten Freshman of the Year, but he left after that freshman season and has burst onto the NHL scene with the Red Wings. And while Panarin leads in most of the rookie stats, there's one area that Larkin leads, and it's not close. In plus-minus, he is plus 21. And tonight, Panarin and Larkin will be on the ice together for the first time. When the Hawks meet the Red Wings, they'll be at the United Center on Sunday.
Those are two of the three biggest rookie names in the league. The other, Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers, who I think had a couple more goals last night. But it's a heck of a rookie crop.
It is very good. In fact, he got his, McDavid did last night against Buffalo, which had the number two player in the draft last year after McDavid was taken number one. And just a little bonus Hawkopedia for this morning. The World Cup of Hockey rosters are being announced today. The World Cup will run in September before the NHL preseason. Russia has announced its roster. It includes Artem Anisimov and Artemi Panarin of the Blackhawks. And Finland's roster includes the Blackhawks' Teuvo Teravainen.
Well, there you go.
So, and there will be other Blackhawks named later on the North America roster. Stan Bowman, I believe, is the general manager on that squad. So
he's already traded several of the people he named.
Yes, he has. And that's our Hawkopedia Plus One.
Yes, and it is sponsored by Freshwave, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks. It's a couple minutes before 9. We're back after this. Ten in the morning. My favorite Rocket Man. He wasn't even in outer space. Spike Odell joins us. Good morning, you little space nut.
Rocket Man. I love that song, man.
So how wrapped up were you in the Twins study and Mr. Kelly being in outer space for a year? Did you follow that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched it, pretty regularly. I just got all the updates, the tweets from space and everything, and I follow the whole thing to see. This is just preparation for going to Mars, man. That's what that was. Just getting ready to go to Mars.
Well, we know Matt Damon can grow crops there, so why would we worry?
I love that movie too. Yeah, you remember? I was just thinking about that before it came on the air. You remember way back when? Remember the Gemini program?
Yeah,
Gemini 4. Sure. Ed White opened up the space capsule, and he was the first American to walk in space. And they knew they had to learn how to do that before they could ever build any space station, you know, way down the line. And they found out it was very hard to do. So they had to go learn how to walk in space. Actually, Buzz Aldrin was the guy that perfected the spacewalk, the old MIT graduate and second man on the moon. But
you remember what Buzz Aldrin told us he did first?
I forget which story he told. What was
first guy to pee on the moon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He soiled himself. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like what this is all about. People don't realize, you know, when they got out of the capsule last night, when they landed over in Kazakhstan, they had them do some things that they're going to have to do when they get to Mars, because you don't have, 18 million people with helicopters and an ambulance waiting for you when you land on Mars. So they got to make sure they can walk.
Yep.
They can turn corners. That's very hard to do. It's even hard to see when you get gravity back into your system for the first time. While liquid pools up behind their eyes, they become farsighted. They're in this dense kind of a space fog.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know any of this.
Complains of that, yeah.
So, yeah. So how long does it take your body to rebalance if you're okay?
Sometimes weeks it does. Although, you know, I watched some video even this morning of them as they were being paraded around Moscow, or back at Baikonur, actually, is where they were. But they seemed to be doing pretty good. I was very impressed with how well they turned out. But people don't realize, being in space, they're just up there floating around. Just to maintain their health, they exercise in space strenuously for 2 hours a day.
What type of anti-gravity
cocky? That's like you and me.
Totally, absolutely. My body's a temple. It's a Buddhist temple. Yeah. What type of exercise can you do in an anti-gravity atmosphere?
Well, pretty much anything you can do. They can run. They lift weights. Only thing is, when they run, they have to put bungee cords around their shoulders to strap them down to the machine they're running on. Just to give them that feeling of gravity, something holding them down.
So the same thing with the weights, because the weights would weigh less if.
Absolutely, it's pretty much resistance weights
got
up
it.
There, you know. So
got it. So what do we do with the information we got back? Because one of the things they studied was in this twin study was digestion and the digestive comparison. And this was a Northwestern study. The digestive comparison between the twin in outer space and the twin on the ground.
Things change in space. I mean, your body changes in space. Actually, he's coming back even a little bit taller than his twin brother because of his time in space. So that's all the stuff that we don't know, which we want to know.
Hold on a second. He grew?
Yeah, because there's no gravity pulling your spine, you know, all your body weight down on your spine. You actually expand a little bit. Yeah.
Dave, this could be good for you. You always wanted to be 6 feet tall.
I'm very encouraged.
Dave would never get that hair in a helmet.
Oh, yeah, good point, Spiker.
That's true.
Hi, Dave, I love you.
Love you too, Spiker.
Thanks.
What is the thing that surprised you about this study, or about this mission, I should say? Anything at all? I mean, keep in mind, we're not the space geeks you are. So talk to us as the idiots that we are.
First and foremost, it wasn't what it was advertised. How many days are there in a year, Cochran?
365 currently.
Why did they only spend 344 in space then?
What?
They advertised it as a year. False advertising.
What? 344?
Well, it was all due to scheduling when they could get up there and get back. So this was close enough. So they did close enough for comparison, but... what surprised me? I don't know. I want to see what the results are. What surprised me, I guess, first gut reaction is how good they acted. I mean, I don't know if you saw the video of him, but he bounded right out of the helicopter. Some of these guys, I remember guys on 2 week space flights in the space shuttle coming back, and they can't get off the gurney because they're throwing up.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Right.
But he, man, he looked great. And I think that's due to what we have learned, you know, the exercising, keeping yourself physically capable.
Well,
and everything.
And there's things we won't know, right? Because nobody spent a year in space before.
That's right.
Far as long-term illnesses or long-term health benefits from that.
Yeah. One of the things they had them do, they wanted to see, as soon as they got out of the capsule, they had them stand for 30 seconds. They just wanted to see if they could stand up for 30 seconds. Because, you know, when we land on Mars... You know, you're not going to, you know, get pampered by all these medical teams waiting for you there. You got to get to work as soon as you land on Mars. So they wanted to see if they could, A, stand, and then they had them do a test where they would put 1 foot, you know, kind of like the sobriety test.
Sure.
On the side of the road, 1 foot in front of the other and walk a straight line for a while. They wanted to see if they could turn corners because they have a hard time with all that fluid readjusting, you know, in your inner ear and throughout your body. You have a hard time figuring out how to turn a corner, literally, after you've been in space that long. So just little things like that to see if they could hit the ground running in Mars, Mars.
Well, we have a new resident space geek here. He's host of the opening bell. Steve Grzanich, say hi to Spike.
Hi, Spike. How are you?
What be shaking, Steve? I've heard you. How are you?
Good. I'm glad to hear you're a space geek. I am too. A big time space geek.
All right. So, yeah. So Steve, any other additional thoughts on the Kelly mission?
You know, I'm just concerned that he's reported vision problems, more vision problems.
Well, Spike said it's going to go away. Dr. Odell says we're going to be okay here.
There are some other astronauts, though, who it has not gone away, and they still have lingering vision issues. And so that they're still studying that to see if, you know, we can handle that long space trip to Mars.
And the fluid, the way I understand it, I don't know if what you're reading, Steve, but a fluid builds up behind the eye, and it makes them farsighted. Even if they were nearsighted when they left the Earth, they come back farsighted a lot of the times, which is kind of a weird deal.
And some of the astronauts are also reporting when they get back here on Earth, they're seeing flashes. I don't know if you've ever closed your eyes, maybe smacked yourself in the head, and you kind of see stars.
Yeah. I am right now, actually.
The astronauts.
Hi, buddy. Love you.
The astronauts see this when they're in space, but they've also, it's been a recurring thing when they get back, too, that they're kind of seeing these things. And they're wondering if that's sort of the, you know, the radiation coming through the spacecraft.
Yeah, Jerry Leninger, who spent, he was the guy on the Mir space station when it caught on fire and everybody thought it was all over. He's got relatives in the Chicagoland area, and he would come, and we would talk. Several times we talked. One of the things he told me, we were talking about what it was like after you get back from 6 months in space, let alone a year.
Right.
And he said, the little things you have to get used to again. He said, it hurt like hell, those were his words, to take a shower. The water drops hitting his skin hurt. He would hide in the corner of the shower.
You're kidding.
And just kind of get himself a little bit wet, and then, you know, and try to rinse off. It took a long time for the shower not to hurt. People don't realize that gravity is a different deal, and you don't feel it really, they say, until the tug of the drogue chute really pulls on you when you've come through the atmosphere. So
here's the thing, too.
A lot of weird things you're gonna have to get used to.
Well, think about the adjustments when you come back. Like, take out the garbage. I don't care, Mr. Astronaut. You're home now. There's a lot of things.
Say, I can't walk and make a turn.
Right, I can't turn. I just keep walking with
you
the garbage. I'm gonna keep walking with the garbage in a straight line. You're gonna have to come get me.
Here's a cool statistic, though, guys. Spike, you probably know this, but Commander Kelly traveled on this mission 143 million miles, and that just happens to be the exact distance to Mars.
Ooh.
Ooh.
So that adds to the science.
Yeah, and you know what? To put that into perspective, you know, it was a big dang deal when we went to the moon. I mean, we didn't know if we could do it. We did it. We went. We came back. But think about it. Going to the moon is just a little short 4-day hop.
Right.
You know, you jump in a rocket, you ride for 4 days, you get out, you plant the flag, you come back another 4 days, and you're home.
Right.
It will take the best part, depending on where Mars is in the orbit around the sun at the time, but it will take the best part of a year to get there and the best part of a year to get back. So this is not just a trip to Kroger.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, dude, it's like any afternoon on the Eisenhower. It always feels like a year.
You better get up and stretch their legs on that mission.
That would be great training.
All right,
for Mars.
Here's what I want to do, Kev. Tell me if we need a break first, but I want to do a an astronaut quiz, an Apollo off between Spike and Steve Grzanich to see who the bigger space geek is.
Classic Apollo off. I like it. We could take a break and circle back.
Apollo off. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do an Apollo off. Stand by.
Circle back. See what Kevin did there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And Spike, if you win and Steve loses, Steve goes into immediate retirement and you come back and get up at 5 and do the opening bell.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm still fighting a cold here.
That's all right. Hold on there, Space Geek. More in a moment with Spike Odell. It's 921 at 720 WGN. I'm talking to my friend Spike Odell, my friend and your friend. And Steve Grzanich is here. It's a geek off more than an Apollo off, I guess, right, Spike?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm happy to hear there's another geek out there like me. Yeah.
And yeah, Spike has a little bit of an edge on me.
No excuses.
Well, the
no
best,
excuses.
Can I just
no
you,
excuses.
Can I tell you one of the best pictures that I have of myself is I was born in 1968. I'll just tell you that. And the best picture I have is my dad holding me as a baby watching the moon landing on television.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah,
very cool. One of my favorites. Very cool.
All right, so Kevin, you're ready with the bells and the buzzers.
Yep, all set.
I'm going to turn this over to Andrea Darlis, famous game show host for the Geek Off.
No.
First question goes to Spike.
First question, Spike. Which Apollo mission took the first astronauts to land on the moon? Apollo what?
Oh, that's a gimme.
Apollo 11.
That's a gimme.
So this is
that's a total gimme.
That would be July 16th, 1969.
Oh, look at that. All right, all right. Here's a tougher one. Who joined?
No, wait. This is for Steve now.
This is for Steve.
Okay. So you're going to give him the impossible answer?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah.
We're setting this up for Spike.
Who joined Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the Apollo 11 mission? Oh, I'll give you three choices.
No, don't even give him the choices.
All right.
You got to know this. Did Steve's mic fail?
I'm here. Actually, I'm drawing.
Did Steve's mic fail?
It's. I can't
think of
his last name.
Oh, it's a buzzer.
Exactly, Mike Collins. Oh man,
I tried to help you, dude.
Tried to help you.
Question number two for Spike.
Question number two. Apollo mission what involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight was?
From a what?
Apollo mission involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight.
Well, Apollo 8, when they went around the moon and they read from the Bible that time, yeah.
Apollo 8?
It would be Apollo 7.
Right or wrong?
Apollo 7.
Well, what happened on Apollo 7?
Apollo 7, the Apollo mission involved in the first live television broadcast from a space flight.
I don't remember Apollo 7.
Really? Okay.
That's according to this, yeah. All right.
Apollo 7 was what? That was Shira and Walter Cunningham,
Walter Cronkite, flew into space.
Walter Jacobson,
Roger Mudd,
Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, Walter Jacobson was on that flight. Bill Curtis.
Okay. Next question,
Mrs. Brady.
Next question.
Trained to go. He trained with the astronauts, he was one of them.
Okay.
I do remember that.
Next question, Steve Grzanich. Yes. Apollo 11 launched on a 363-foot-tall rocket called what?
The
goes boom thing. The goes boom thing with the fire.
I got it. Yeah, go ahead, Spike. Go ahead.
Steel.
Saturn V.
Yeah. Saturn V.
It's about 500 feet tall, though, isn't it?
All right, give Steve a question to try to catch up.
All right, here we go. Steve's question to try to catch up. What was the Apollo mission on which astronauts used the lunar module as a lifeboat to return to Earth?
Apollo 13.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it's right. Yeah, of course it's right.
And everybody thinks it was Captain Lovell who said, "Houston, we have a problem." It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, you know who it was?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it was Tom Hanks. It was Tom Hanks who said, "Houston, we have a problem."
Okay, the Apollo 11 command.
This is Spike's question.
All right, Spike. The Apollo 11 command and lunar modules were named Columbia and what?
And the Eagle.
Steve, I hate to break it to you. Steve, you can't compete with this geek. This geek is unbelievable. Because of time constraints and the fact that Steve stunk at the contest.
You want one more?
We have one. No, we're out of time.
Give him another one.
I'll give him another one.
We have no time. We're out of time. The one time I try to run this ship on time, and now Spike and Andre are doing the show without me.
Let me give him one more.
All right, one more for Steve. Steve, this is worth 1.9 points for a correct answer.
All right, Steve, what was the first phrase spoken on the moon?
The first phrase on the moon or at the arrival, like when they
on
were
on the moon.
Well, it's the same thing.
One small step for man.
Actual answer, Spike.
Okay, contact light.
But were they
contact light? I don't even know that.
That's right.
Spike, what's the backstory?
That's when they were landing. And he says, drifting forward, 3.5, kicking up some dust. Okay, contact light, engines off, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a trick question, but Spike gets 1.9 final points for a final total of Spike kicks Steve's butt in the geek off. Which means Spike gets to stay in retirement and Steve is stuck with us.
I bow to you, Spike.
I'm so proud of you for being a geek, though, buddy.
I bow to you, Spike.
Spikey, thanks, buddy. Great talking to you.
Hey, man, thanks. You guys be good. I love you all.
Love you, Spike.
Love you, Spike.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
Is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
9:44 now. The Steve Cochran Show continues. What are you two waving at?
Spike Odell.
Oh, Spike. Spike says hi. Hi, Spikey.
He can't get enough of us.
We love helping out the Special Olympics wherever we can, whenever we can. And joining me on the phone now is Susan Nickel. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine. Nice to talk to you again.
Likewise. Thanks for your support.
Except I always worry if I'm saying it right. Nicole or Nickel?
Nickel. Yep.
I thought it was
Nickel.
Right.
Like the coin.
Executive Director of Special Olympics Chicago. The Polar Plunge is this weekend. What role do you guys play?
You know, we are the Special Olympics Chicago side of things. So we do everything from organizing the event, promoting the event, dealing with plunger relations, et cetera. And we work very closely with the Park District and the Chicago Public Schools on that front as well.
So who is involved? How did they get involved? And what great stories do you like to tell?
Well, it's a truly Chicago iconic event. Special Olympics Chicago, the very first games took place on July 20th, 1968. So we're really proud of the role that our great city had in hosting those games and kind of giving birth to the entire Special Olympics movement. So down at the beach this Sunday, we will have athletes, we will have families, we will have friends, corporate community sponsors, elected officials. Just it's a very spirited event that shows what a great city it is when it comes to charitable giving.
And who from the organization will be diving into the water, temperature being what? What will the temperature be this weekend in the water?
Oh. You know,
is it 30, 32, 30? No, it's got to be more than 32. It'd be frozen, right? Well, I guess not because it's moving. We're talking about ice water.
Exactly. We're talking probably right at about 35, but the air will be a little bit warmer this year. So
as the boss, do you have to jump in?
As the boss, you know, I've done it before, but I think this year I'm going to just help pass out towels and cheer everybody on.
Well, that's very nice. Now, you did it once and once was enough. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, not at all. I've done it a few times.
Have you really?
Yeah, we call it the Fountain of Youth.
Never done it. I probably should do it. I've never done it.
Well, come on down. A big point that we want your listeners to know is that they don't have to go all the way under. There's no rules. We think it's enough that people come down and the adrenaline takes them down to the beach, however far they're comfortable going in. Some people go knee-high, waist-high. You don't have to take the full plunge, but that's always fun as well.
And how do we support Special Olympics by doing that?
You can still register. Listeners can register at chicagopolarplunge.org. And there is no registration fee to register. Everyone gets a free T-shirt and a free towel when they exit the water. We do ask people to raise a minimum of $175. And to put that in perspective, the average person raises about $400, which is why the event is so successful.
That's pretty great.
It is great. It is our largest fundraiser throughout the year, and it's really important as well. It sustains our programming. We've got 40 events that our athletes enjoy throughout the year. They participate in 22 different sports. So it really helps us not only sustain the program, but also allows us to expand those offerings as well.
You know, as you look at the forecast, it's going to be tweaking up, and I think this may be one of the warmest polar plunges ever. It looks like a daytime high Sunday in the low to mid-40s, and Sunday morning, you know, the air temperature might be in the high 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. We have not seen sand in a few years, so it'll be a welcome relief, you know, for people to be able to really feel that they're at the beach versus, you know, the North Pole. But it's nice to hear the water splashing on the shores. We're down there this week setting up. The water will still be refreshing. So, you know, we invite everybody to come down. With the warmer temperatures, we expect more spectators. So we've got bleachers and cheer signs for everybody to join in the fun.
And again, the good news is, by you going in for the polar plunge, you're doing a great thing for Special Olympics Illinois and Special Olympics in general. So website one more time.
Sure. It's chicagopolarplunge.org. And all are invited to come down and join in the fun.
Have a great time and a great event.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your support.
There you go, Susan Nickel. Have you done it?
I have not done it.
You know who did it? It was Jimmy DeCastro. Jimmy DeCastro and Todd Manley.
Yeah, last year or 2 years ago.
Now, did they go all the way under, or were they just, like, did they just wet their toes?
I think they did. They were in suits, weren't they?
Yeah, they were in. They went in suits.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Three-piece suits.
Yeah. And by the way, I've known DeCastro for 20 years. That's not even close to the craziest thing he's ever done.
You know, I'll tell you what would be interesting would be somebody do the stair climb at Presidential Towers.
Yeah.
Climb the four towers, then go over to the beach and do the polar
would the
plunge.
Timing work out?
Well, I suppose you could probably.
I guess if you went fast on the stairs,
that'd probably be great for your heart.
Yeah, because you get your heart super revved up, and then you go in the ice water.
Right. Mm-hmm. fantastic for your health.
Dave's cardiological moment. Dave's tips on a healthy you. Sponsored by no one for obvious reasons. It's 9:50. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN. New York Magazine has come up with a Donald Trump glossary, a major super classy list of Donald Trump's favorite words and phrases for everyone who's not a loser. This comes out of a piece of tape that's existed for a while but was brilliantly interlaced, interwoven, if you will, into John Oliver's Last Week Tonight takedown of Trump on Sunday night. Here's a clip of something Trump actually said.
I went to an Ivy League school. I'm very highly educated. I know words. I have the best words. I have the but there's no better words than stupid. Right?
I know words. I have the best words. From New York Magazine, here are a few of his favorites. Amazing. Opposite a loser. Bing, 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 bong, bing, bing, bing. That's the sound lobbyists make when they're controlling the losers that run this country. Classy. Everything's classy. Anything and everything that Donald Trump touches is classy. Clown. Those guys are clowns, and losers are clowns. Fantastic. How many times a day does he say the word fantastic? I have a fantastic business. I built with fantastic people. People that I hire because I'm fantastic.
I know words. I have the best words.
Here's one that sort of disappeared. Got schlonged. Remember when he said got schlonged?
Oh, he took a lot of heat for that.
Yeah. See how it affected him? He's only ahead by 40 points in 500 states now. Megyn Kelly's a bimbo. That's also one of Donald Trump's favorite words because she had the nerve to challenge him. Hey, by the way, breaking news. There's a debate next week for the Democrats. There's a debate next week for the Republicans. I believe I'm right about this. I think it's a Fox debate. I think Megyn Kelly's hosting another one, and I think he's showing up.
Even though he is
making noise yesterday about how it's a waste of his time because everyone else is a loser. Another word on his list, a loser. You're a loser, I'm a loser, we're all a loser. Mexicans, one of Donald Trump's favorite words, Mexicans. And what do we know about Mexicans in Trump's world? They're all rapists and criminals. A moron, it's totally different from a loser. You wouldn't understand because you're probably one of those two and you're not Donald Trump. How about terrific? If it's not fantastic, it's terrific. Losers and morons don't understand how terrific Donald Trump is. These are some of the words that Donald Trump loves. Some of the words he'll say over and over again, because when it comes to Donald Trump, his words are better than our words.
I know words. I have the best words.
Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. Here's Dave Ennett with an important announcement.
I mentioned this a few minutes ago. Sunday is the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, presented by United Healthcare. I'll be climbing. We've got a big team from WGN Radio. We're going to scale the presidential towers in the West Loop. It's the biggest stair climb in Chicago. You can climb one tower. You can climb all four. If you do, that's 180 floors, 2,340 steps, all to help the American Lung Association. You can help by registering, or you can pledge online at fightforairclimb.org, fightforairclimb.org, or call 312-781-1100. That's this Sunday.
Some people on the Steve Cochran Show won the following: a gift certificate to Glenwood Oaks Rib and Chop House, located in Glenwood, the restaurant of choice since 1974. Lou Malnati's Pizza from LouMalnati's.com. A 3x4-foot official Chicago sports team throw rug, boldly emblazoned with your local Chicago sports team logo, courtesy of Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. And a Chevy Drive Chicago.com, WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee from your Chicagoland. Bill and Wendy are here. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Super Wednesday.
How are you guys doing?
We're going to cover all the Super Wednesday things today for everybody.
Or is it Wonderful Wednesday?
Have you cleared all that with President Trump?
Have not yet, but...
Don't say that.
Which part?
President.
Get on board. Hate to have you end up in North Korea.
I went to an Ivy League school.
Yes? Do you have the best words?
I know words. I have the best words.
It's just the best.
Everyone has words, but he knows the best words.
He has the best words by listening to him. He's the best. President Trump, you have 2 weeks, Illinois, to get your act together and vote.
It's the 15th, right? Is that the day?
Yes, our primary.
Yep, that's
exactly the same day as that Reconciliation Day. What do you know?
What an irony. That's one of the words Donald Trump doesn't have, even though he does have the best
irony.
I don't do irony. I have Melania to do it.
Melania does all the irony. Listen, you guys have fun. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm coming back. I'll do another one.
All right. Thanks, Steve.